All right, we are at verse 10. Luke 7. Well, actually, we finished that. They were sent returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, that many of his disciples went with him and much people. Pete. Nain is a city that's not mentioned very often. Mount Hermon is the highest mountain in what was the boundaries of Israel. It was really at this time, that was only at the time of David, but at the time of Christ, it was in Lebanon. And then Naim is a city at the base of Little Hermon, which is a few, I don't know how many miles away from it. But at this time it was just barely in what was Israel instead of Lebanon. Okay? And much people, much is polis, and people is oklos, which means the common people. His disciples and many people were with him. He came nigh to the gate. The gate is kind of an interesting word. It's pili in Greek, but metaphorically, let's look and see what it is. Let's look at Matthew 7. Any gate is a... Well, not any gate. This is a large gate. This is the word for it.
Matthew 7,
verse, I don't know yet. Enter ye in at the strait, or the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight, or narrow, or very small is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the word, I don't remember what the word for straight gate is, it's just one word, but it means a teeny gate. And then the wide gate is this pili. And let's look at one more. Let's look at Matthew 16. Now, how narrow is this gate that leadeth to life? Smaller than your eye can see. Because it's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. So, enter you in at the little gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight or little is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. That's kind of scary. It's only him. He alone is the gate, the door. Let's look at Matthew 16. See another gate. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am? That I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, Whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee this unto thee, it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee all, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the gates there, these are the wide, wide gates. Well, that's enough gate stuff. Back to Luke. Verse 12. And behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. A dead man is thenesco, which it just means dead, but it also means spiritually dead. And that's what we should be mostly interested in. And let's look at one verse of spiritually dead. There's many, but let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Talking about, this was about a widow, and this is about a widow. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplication and prayer night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things give in charge, that they may be blameless. Now, she that liveth in pleasure. And that, in pleasure doesn't mean clubbing every night. In pleasure just means simply doing what she wants. And a widow well, I don't have it. I thought I did, but I don't have the widow. There's a specific definition of a widow, which I'll remember. I was going to make notes on it, and I didn't. All right, back to Luke. So anyway, the point of it is if you live, not just her, but anybody that lives after their own eyes of understanding, if doing as one pleases instead of having seen the vanity of that. All right. Back to Luke 7. There was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. The carried out is a one word. It means he was being carried out for burial. And that was there was a funeral procession. And his mother... only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. You know what let's do? Let's wait. We'll talk about widow tomorrow. I want to talk about only son. Remember, we've talked many times about the lies that are accepted by everybody. And one of the lies is the fatherhood of God. And the other one is the brotherhood of man. And the other one is free will. I mean, we could go on and on about these lies that are part and part of culture. But they're so endemic to culture that it's it's almost impossible, even for Christians, to think that Jesus Christ is the only child of God, the only Son of God. Well, then what does that make us? Well, it makes us, we were created by God. We were created out of the dust of the earth. Jesus Christ came from eternity itself. He was the only begotten Son, and is and always will be the only begotten Son. And let's see these. And only is monogenes, which is obviously, it's a single one of its kind, and it emphasizes the singleness of it. So if I don't want to go through all that. And Son is huios, that means he was a grown Son. Monogenes huios. But we're going to look at where only Son is used of Christ. We're going to spend 3 or 4 verses in John. Let's go to John 1. We're going to start at verse 1 just because I like to read it. But we have to go a ways. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him anything made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And again, when we drink the cup of Elijah, and that's what John is John is the minister. John was the ministry of Elijah. When we drink the cup of Elijah, then that becomes our only vocation. We bear witness of that light in every area of our life. Amen. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And let's go to John 3. This whole born again thing. Let's look at that. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus. That means, you know what that means? He was in the Sanhedrin. He was one of the 70. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. And it shouldn't say again. It says, literally, it says from above, or from, really what it says is from the first estate. But for some reason, in every place, it's translated as born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it willeth, where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascendeth up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the only begotten of the Father. Again, no man can return to heaven except he came from heaven. No man can come to eternity except he came from eternity. We came not from eternity. We came from time and space. We came from the dust. That's why the best that we can be is a vessel.
And the world here doesn't include that dust. It includes, because it's talking about the cosmos.
Right. God so loved the world. It's really what he's saying. He so loved the bride. The cosmos is just the adornment of the bride. It's just like everything else. God so loved, the Father so loved the bride that he gave his Son. Anyway, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Let's start in verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Hereby is our love made perfect or made fully tested, that we have may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is in this world, so are we. Now, the point of that whole thing is the oneness of the only begotten Son. Let's go to Galatians 4. Well, that's enough. I'm not feeling well. I got something wrong going on with my eye. Can you see my eye?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.